For June the 21st, 2013, we talk about Nintendo's E3 showing, Animal Crossing New Leaf, and The Last of Us. Welcome to the 25th level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Mysmith.
And welcome to the 25th level, a podcast for people who love video games. We are going to be joined a little bit later by Ben Merkel, who is late. He had this work thing happen. But we are back after kind of a strange week last week, the whole E3 thing. I apologize for my belligerent behavior. It was really, really late. Like, for real. We caught a little bit of flag for like, man, you really should have waited until the information was more mature before you made all those judgments. That's like, schedules.
But weren't we basically right?
Kind of. Like, stuff really died down after the first day, but that's more brief territory, so why don't we do that? So it's time for the brief, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games. Do you guys mind if I lead off? Because I'm going to catch the straggler from E3 last week.
Go.
Is that fine? All right. So really, the only major press conference that we missed was the Nintendo presser. And here we go. I have it back up. And nothing too terribly. Okay. So some kind of surprising stuff. They announced like a new Mario Kart for the Wii U, which looks good. I like Mario Kart Wii. I haven't played the 3DS one, but it looks like they're adding a bunch of kind of like crazy stuff to it. And I always feel a little bit uneasy about the stuff that they add to Mario Kart games until I play it. And it's like, whatever.
Just give me vanilla Mario Kart.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Mario Kart off my lawn, you crazy kids.
and it's kind of like Smash Brothers, where they give you enough control over the rules that you can make it like that if you want. At least in the Wii version they did, which was the one where it had the potential to be the craziest. But like, there are like upside down tracks and stuff in this, and you know, combining all kinds of different carts and things. I don't know.
It doesn't have to be a new game if you don't want it to be a new game, though.
Right, right. which, you know, Nintendo's thing, right? It's new, but it's not new. there is some other stuff there. Like, it's all software, right? No real hardware stuff to talk about. Just bringing more stuff onto the Wii U. Pikmin 3, which people are excited about, I understand. And then also the Super Smash Brothers. I really don't like Super Smash Bros. As a name for a thing. People saying it.
It rolls off the tongue better if it's brothers.
Yeah. But like, people
Super
like
Smash, bra.
Super Smash. Like, it sounds like some kind of frat move. Like, it's like a keg stand, but like, oh man, you should have seen it. Big Willie did a Super Smash all over the house last night.
And Super
night.
Smash that, bro.
No. What made you think that was okay?
I don't know. I just went for it. History will judge
note,
me.
Title.
Yeah.
Super Smash That Bro. Or what made you think that was okay?
Super Smash That Bro.
I don't want to encourage that. That isn't something right there. But they announced three new characters: the villager from Animal Crossing, the trainer from Wii Fit.
Which has made the best memes.
Like what memes?
Your ideal heart rate is zero.
I like that.
Or first we'll burn your calories, then we'll burn the rest of you.
I didn't see those. That's pretty good.
I'll have to look it up. It's probably on Know Your Meme already.
Yeah. That's a useful site.
Yes, it is.
It's also got that tropes quality of being able to just get lost there.
Yeah. There's like, and they categorize them by where they're from, so I can see all something awful memes and things.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but so then finally, Mega Man, which people are excited about. So what I wanted to, like, with Mega Man, is it going to be like with Kirby, where every enemy that you kill, you get the power? that they had.
Oh, cool.
I don't know. But
that would be speculating. Cool. That would be an awesome angle.
Yeah, yeah.
Do the new characters usually get a stage dedicated to them? I'm not very familiar with Super Smash Bros.
I think every character has a stage, possibly, or at least if they're from the same game. So, like, with what are their names? The Earthbound characters, like, you don't get Ness and whatever, isn't it? Lucas, yeah. Like, you know, you don't get one from each. It's just kind of like, oh, it's, you know, New Pork City.
Mm-hmm.
Although they had at least two stages in Melee. That's the last one I played. But
yeah, I love there was a statement that the lead designer on this made a little while ago. I think maybe like yesterday. You know, who knows? Time is crazy here. The flow of time is convoluted here in Pod World. But he was saying, like, picking the new characters for Super Smash Brothers was stressful approaching death or something like that, just because of how psychotic the fan base is.
Yeah.
See,
like, I actual death threats when Brawl came out because they added Sonic.
See, I feel like Sonic and Mega Man are the perfect ones because, at least to me, the whole point of the game is kind of to do the, you know, video game matchups. So I feel like getting the iconic characters from different, you know, publishers and stuff like that should be the entire point.
Right, right. No. The point of the game is Final Destination, no items, Fox only, no fun, you knew. Which, I mean, I'm not, like, it looks cool. Like looking at, like, the videos, you know, they're really leveraging that high def, you know, like, these characters look as good as they've ever looked. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just, being somebody who doesn't play, like, who has never been interested in competitive play and just how toxic that scene is, like, whatever, like, even playing casually with other people, I can't really stand it. I can't see getting it. And the single player, not that great.
I don't know. I mean, for whenever, Grant, like I said, I played up through Melee, but for me, it was one of those things where it was a very fun game as long as everyone was approximately the same skill level.
Well, yeah, yes, that's the same for any fighting game, though.
But particularly if you were playing someone that was good enough to glitch, that got really annoying.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Nope.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, Ben.
Hey guys, sorry I'm late.
That's
How
fine.
You guys doing?
We're doing just good. We're in the middle of the brief.
Hey.
Well, thank you for coming. You don't feel bad about being late. We're just in the middle of the brief, so
we're picking over Nintendo Direct for any morsels.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that the Nintendo any of their press releases are just very depressing? It's like, here are all these great games I will never play.
Well, I mean, that people will play, that people enjoy, that sell systems. I mean,
No. I mean, it's great for, I'm just saying personally, like, it's all these great games that I know I would love to play, but never will, just because I'll probably never own a Wii or Wii U.
No. I don't know. I mean, if it depresses you, you can just buy a fucking Wii.
Yeah. Take some ownership.
I said that like it was a criticism, but it's really not. Just like, oh, you know, if that's. Yeah. But yeah, time is limited and, you know, cutting down on the number of systems that you have can cut down on, you know, the number of games that you have to play, even if it does cut down on the number of the games that you have to play.
Ah,
wow. That was deep, man. Yeah,
that was deep.
What do you think of this, of the Wii U Super Smash Brothers, Ben?
I'm just reading about it. I had not followed anything about Nintendo.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
This is all news to me.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not a system seller for me. But who knows? Looking at other, like, Wii U stuff here real quick, I don't feel they need to comment on everything, but Super Mario 3D World, really weird because I thought the 3D in 3D World was referring to the 3D on the 3DS, but apparently not really because they're putting it onto a non... they're putting it onto a non-3D system. My brain hurts. But the good thing is they do have Princess Peach in there and not just another Toad. So this is the Mario 2 cast
together
again for the first time.
No, it's actually, Cole, it is Super Mario 3D World.
D World.
This was their fourth choice for a game.
Yeah, Team World. I like Super Mario 3D Land, so it's cool to see that it'll be in HD. Again, all of this looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's superbly art-directed and everything. And finally, Wind Waker HD. I kind of wish that they just did an up-res of the textures and not, like, gone in and redone.
Is this the one where he turns into the hieroglyphs?
I think that might be... I think you might be thinking of Twilight Princess.
Is it? No, maybe.
Yeah.
There's some, I don't know if it was new from E3, but the newest Link game, the big thing is you can like turn into hieroglyphs and walk along the wall or something.
I think you might be thinking of A Link Between Worlds, which is on the 3DS.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yep. Yeah. Which looks really good. I don't want to say I was skeptical, but like, you know, the fact that they're coming out and saying, oh my gosh, it's a sequel to Link to the Past. Like, they're immediately setting the expectations up. And all of my excitement comes from the potential of how good that could possibly be. Which is immediately paired with doubt about, whether or not they're going to fulfill that. But yeah.
Link to the Past was Bunny Link?
Yes. That was the Dark World one. Yoshi's New Island, it doesn't look very good. That aesthetic needs to stay in 2D, at all. The 3D doesn't look that great to me. I feel like I'm talking to myself, so I'll go ahead and just hit the rest of like the other two that I want to talk about here. Mario and Luigi Dream Team, love that series. I'm glad to see that they're continuing it on the 3DS. It's some of Nintendo's best work recently. Those are the RPGs with the super goofy writing. And then finally Pokemon X and Pokemon Y, which the last Pokemon game that I played was Heart Gold and Soul Silver, specifically Soul Silver. And I realized that the reason that I liked it was because it didn't, introduce any of the shitty new Pokemon really. Hmm. It was all the ones from my childhood. And the fact that it is X and Y, and they're, you know, it's the, like the sixth generation Pokemon and going to like the 1,000 monsters or something. It's like, I feel like I can safely leave this behind now.
Dude, you're doing it wrong. Just go back and play one of the old games.
What do you mean?
You go back and play one of the old games.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
what Heart Gold and Soul Silver was a remake of Gold and Silver.
Oh, well, there you go.
Quick question. Poll question. Everybody's favorite Pokemon. If they have one.
Zapdos.
Oh, I mean Pokemon game.
Oh, okay. Silver.
I was going to say Silver as well.
Okay. Probably Silver.
All right.
And make it a clean sweep.
I have not played Silver, so
can I say Pokemon Snap?
Oh, shit. Yeah, you can and you should. And that should be my answer right now.
That was... I don't know.
Yeah.
I would go with Yellow. That holds a special place in my heart.
Yeah, Yellow's pretty good. Yeah. But, I don't know. That's Nintendo. Bunch of software. Everybody... I mean, I'm pleased with it. This, you know, there are not too many surprises. Oh, there's also Donkey Kong Country, but who cares?
2D or 3D? Not so hard this time.
What's that?
2D or 3D?
It's the 2.5D.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to, like, especially on this 64, the kind of 3D pseudo open world platformers like Banjo-Kazooie and stuff?
I mean, they were really kind of like a growing pain kind of thing, right?
Oh, those were so much fun.
Yeah.
You remember them being so much fun.
Yeah. Like, if you loaded up Banjo-Kazooie right now, it'd be a real shit show, I think.
Yeah.
Yep. Maybe.
Mario 64.
Yeah, I like that one, but like solely for nostalgia's sake, honestly. Like Mario 64 in games of its ilk either went away or turned into Mario Galaxy.
Yeah.
See,
I'd be interested to go back and play a Crash Bandicoot game to see if it holds up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm like one of the ones that was developed by the actual team or one of the ones that shambled on later, such as Twin Sanity or Crash Mind Over Mutant.
I think two is probably the ideal for me.
Two? I liked three. Three was real good. or Crash Team Racing?
Oh, dude, I spent a lot of hours on Crash Team Racing.
Yeah.
Don't knock that.
No, I'm not going to knock it. It's fine.
I'd never heard of Twin Sanity before this point. That's pretty funny.
Keep it that way. Block it from the line.
That sounds like a flavor of like Gushers.
Oh, it's a bag, but it has two compartments.
Yeah, that sounds like that's what that should be.
Yeah, and you can either eat them separately, or you can smash them together and then just squeeze it out like some kind of energy gel. Just also, they're caffeinated.
Dry, like they did with the Crash IP.
Super smash throw them.
Super. Yeah. Okay. No, don't. Yeah. We can't. Okay, Ben. There. Yep. We're not even gonna resurrect it.
Am I going to just be missing out on a joke?
Kind of, yeah.
We were speculating on what
it's on the hip hop chorus to a song about Super Smash Brothers.
There's a hip hop song about Super Smash Brothers.
You'll just have to listen to the beginning of the episode because I will not dare to repeat it for as much as I am dwelling on it as we speak. But who else has a brief?
I've got a really short one that I can just kind of toss out there.
Okay.
They confirmed the pricing, at least for the initial spate of games on Xbox One and PS4 today.
Yeah.
And it is going to hold steady. So, yay! But yeah. Also, boo to the possibility that they could take it up in the future. They both were very careful in their wording about where game pricing will go.
Yeah, they were very careful in the previous generation too, saying like, "Oh, we'll leave it up to the publishers, et cetera, et cetera." Which is really kind of the rhetoric they use this time as well.
Yeah, because after all, there's all that competitive pricing on console games. I mean, you know, some are $60, some are $60, and sometimes they're $60.
Sometimes they're $59.99. Yeah, that's... I think the DLC is somewhat alleviating that. Either that or you get stuff like Deadly Premonition, which comes out at, $20 or... Which, obviously, that's the exception, not the rule. But yeah.
But not I mean, to, all. Oh. They're good.
I was just going to say, not to, beat a dead horse, but I feel like this is. That's fine. That's probably to be expected for PS3, but I feel like for Xbox, doesn't that kind of shoot down the idea that, oh, we're getting rid of used game sales, but games are going to be cheaper because of it?
Maybe. No, it just gives like a central control. Yeah.
That would be a power move, though. If Xbox came out and was like, "Yeah, always online, no used game sales, or a fee for game sales after the first trade, but all our games are going to be $20."
Yeah,
that would change the game.
Yeah. Looking at this, so with inflation based on the CPI, $60 today is. Roughly compared to about $50 in 2003, about 10 years ago. So that's still good. It's nowhere near as like crazy as when you were buying, high capacity SNES games in, 1995 for $90, I believe is
And then adjusted forward, you're paying even more for that.
Yeah. So
although I'd say Steam would argue that ironically, in a completely controlled system that's in some ways a lot more like a free market, the price should be much lower than that.
Yeah. I think what will happen, I think downloadable games and DLC are holding down the price, and gamers have been trained that $60 is acceptable. Mm-hmm. So I think I would give it kind of an 80% chance that the majority of games coming out next system or next generation will stay at that $60 price point.
I would agree, like at least standard edition, and they're always going to try and do the limited stuff, just to feel out what those limits are.
I'm kind of surprised because for me, I guess I'm kind of having the opposite feeling. $60 just seems incredibly overpriced for a game.
I don't know. I feel like that's a bigger conversation than we can have in the brief, though. Just because it does take a lot of kind of assumptions into account. Like can you give like a brief explanation as to why you feel that?
Mainly because, you know, I'm used to waiting a little bit and getting games for like half off on Steam.
Okay.
And obviously they're making money. And I feel like, you know, this the $60 system would be okay if every game was good and reasonably long. But when you have a game that's just a couple hours long, or more relevantly, when you have like Aliens Colonial Marines happening sometime, I feel like you just can't justify $60.
But that's kind of that's been everything from the history of the industry, though. I mean, there's nothing new about that now.
Well, I guess the new thing is like. I don't know. I guess, you know, I generally don't buy a game unless it's, at least 50% off, and I usually don't have to wait long for that.
Right, right. You know, but like you're going to pay that premium for the day one, right? And what you're doing is what a lot of people are doing. But I don't understand how that can be pinned to this decision to continue making it. If anything, I'm surprised because the cost of development always goes up whenever there's more fidelity, more art assets need to be made. From what I understand, just the development cycles get longer and longer as the expectation kind of goes up. So really, we're just kind of resting against what they feel like they can charge right out the gate, and then they'll make their initial money on that, and then they'll try and get a long tail established by dropping the price or doing re-releases and stuff, right? Yeah.
It seems like $20 to $30 is kind of the ultra, like, it's safe to buy this, wait a couple months after the game comes out price.
Mm-hmm.
And $60 strikes me as just a really bad idea to ever pay on a game that you don't know. I'm surprised they don't, like, split the difference and have a lot more people buy it right away.
I don't know. I mean, just, like, there are people for whom, like they've decided that's what it's worth to them. Just like you've decided that it's $30 right there. They'd be leaving money on the table if they didn't charge at the max. And I'm not defending people taking advantage of the audience or whatever, but it's like that's just the way that it goes. And you decide pay retail price now or wait until later. It's I think that everybody who is kind of a participant in this market kind of understands that that's how it goes around, and it's just weird to see how that compares to, the actual policy that's put forward.
I would also argue that there's probably a relatively small group of people who want the game but would not buy it later at a lower price. So, like, mm-hmm. You're going to have the people who want it right away. They're willing to pay $60. That's a large group of people. You have the people who want it but will wait for it. And we'll, pay $30 2 months down the road or whatever. I think it's a relatively small group of people who say, I want it, but I'm not willing to wait for it or pay $60 for it. Therefore, I'm not going to buy it.
Right.
So I think most people fall into one of those groups, either the group that doesn't want to wait and will pay $60, mm-hmm. or the group that is willing to wait but will pay $30. I don't think there's a lot of people who won't wait and won't pay $30 or won't pay $60.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm looking at more from the advantage of having a community, particularly if you're a multiplayer game, and having the advantages of having hype when a game gets released.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it is. I'm sure they've done market studies. But I would have expected that they'd be better off doing a lower price point for more people. But,
But like that, like that's why so many, a lot of shooters are going to like a free to play model, right?
Exactly.
So they can get as many butts in the seats, right? Mm. But when you're talking about like, oh, we are an online shooter and we need to get as much of an audience as possible, you know, you're oftentimes talking about franchises that they don't have to worry about the size of the audience that they're going to get. To an extent, it doesn't matter what, you know, Activision charges for Call of Duty or what EA charges for Battlefield, because they're like, they have a mostly captive audience, at least of people who want to upgrade, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. So the longest brief in history.
Yeah.
But yeah.
didn't know that was a powder keg.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting topic of discussion, at least, because I think everybody has their own strategies for what's there. But, you know, this is one of those instances where, yes, the status quo is there. I just, you know, to a certain extent, there are expectations that come along with the price point that a game is set at. And, you know, it'd be awesome if people felt comfortable putting out a $40 game that had less production value but was still an interesting thing. But that is the role of, you know, Xbox Live Arcade and PSN. So,
sure.
Blah. As we'll talk about in the grind. Who wants to do another brief?
Who's left?
Ben and David.
I really don't have much. The only thing I really had is Rift is now free to play. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good game. And GOG is currently doing their summer sale. That's really all I saw in the news, other than if you want me to complain about the Xbox One more. You don't want me to click.
let's
be honest.
Let's give it a bit of a break.
People don't like that console?
Wait a minute. Something doesn't add up here. Yeah. Man. Oh, God. You shouldn't have told me about the GOG sale, because like there's this, and then there's also coming up, we've got the Steam Summer Sale, which is going to ruin me.
My wallet just started hurting.
Literally ruin me.
Yeah, the interesting conclusion I drew from the GOG sale is I didn't realize how, in the grand scheme of things, I started playing video games relatively recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though that was like, you know, I maybe got serious about them like beginning of high school,
mm-hmm.
I still look at like the GOG sale and it's like, here's all these tons of games that I know a ton of people my age would be like super nostalgic about that I don't care about,
right?
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, kind of weird.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at this. I saw the Dungeons and Dragons pack was on sale because Gary tutored about it, and I was like, oh my gosh, so many good games in here. I love GOG as a service. Like, mm-hmm. I am so happy that this is a thing that exists. It tickles the archivist inside of me. Like, just kind of like, here are these awesome things that 5 years ago would have just been lost to the entire world.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
now like you can buy, looking at this here, you can buy Far Cry for $5.
It's the best games museum out there.
Yeah. It's like, I have no problem giving them money. I've given them way too much, but, but you get awesome stuff in return. So yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to go through here and, Hotline Miami for $5.
How is that a good old game?
Well, they do indie publishing too. So
it's a modern classic.
That's why it's GOG now and not good old games.
Yes.
Yeah. And Ben, how about you?
I have nothing. With E3 last week, that was the, I kind of went on blackout after that. Mm. So.
Okay. No, that's, I wouldn't blame you for that. Oh man. So wanted to do the grind.
Let's do it.
Okay.
The grind.
Now it's time for the grind, where we talk about the games that we have been playing. And does anybody want to step up and go first?
I can.
Do it.
Because I've got two new games to talk about, so that's exciting.
Oh, I like that. Go.
Yeah, just when you began to wonder if I would ever stop playing XCOM. Well, I have.
you haven't stopped playing XCOM.
Yeah. But I've added two new games to my list. I think, Ben, it was your brief 2 weeks back or so that the new Sid Meier game was out for iOS.
Yeah.
Called Ace Patrol. And so I went and I looked it up in the store, fully intending to give them their, you know, $5 due or whatever it was. And it was free. So I was pretty psyched about that. And I downloaded it and I've been playing Ace Patrol.
Yeah.
And it is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I sent you guys a text about it. I don't know if anyone else went in and tried to download it, if it was still free or not.
I think that it is like actually a free to play game. I can look it up. I can look it up as we speak. But
good. Okay, then everyone go download this game.
Yeah.
It's, you know, turn based grid combat with World War I flying aces,
nice.
Which is really, really cool. I think I'm most impressed. First off, I'm really impressed that they've managed to take turn-based strategy and get it down to like a mobile bite size.
Mm-hmm.
So most missions won't take you longer than 5 minutes. So it's very easy to just, you know, pull out for a little brain break, play, and put away.
Mm-hmm.
But just as easily, you could go through an entire set of missions in an hour and have just as much fun. The you know, upgrading your units feels good. Your units are persistent between all the battles, so your moveset, your verbs kind of get a lot more sophisticated as you go on. And the depth of strategy for, you know, for keeping things in bite size pieces, the depth of strategy is pretty good. I will say that sometimes the enemies do things that are a bit idiotic, but I'm not sure if that's just a function of the difficulty level I'm playing on or the, you know, an actual flaw in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's overall, it's been great. And I think it translates the momentum and the chaos of dogfighting very well to a turn-based formula.
Yeah.
And those two things almost seem like, you know, antithetical at first glance, right? But, you know, basically your units always have to be moving.
Right.
Either changing altitude or, you know, veering left or right or going into different roles. So, you know, you're never staying still. You're always taking into account the direction that someone is heading and the direction that you're heading, what your moveset is. And then, you know, you don't know what their moveset is until they show it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this great kind of, you know, oh God, they know the split S. All right. I better watch myself the next time I do a pass or, you know, stuff like that, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
So that translates really well. And then just the chaos I had one battle where, you know, I had an objective that I was supposed to go, bomb and got into a big dogfight, and realized as I had finished mopping up the dogfight that I had no idea which way the objective was anymore. And I had actually gone like clear to the other side of the map trying to battle these guys, just completely lost in the moment of looping around and trying to get behind someone. And I had to like stop and look around and try to reorient myself just like you would during a regular dogfight.
Right.
So it works really, really incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So do you have to like manage your fuel in that, or is it just entirely self-contained missions and stuff?
No managing your fuel. If you get four pilots and if one of them gets, significantly damaged, they will not be available for a couple missions. And I think most recently I had a pilot that was shot down in enemy territory and they just have not been available to me. So I don't know if she's gone for the rest of the game or, I think, you know, it goes over a span of time. So I think when you hit Christmas each year, they exchange all your prisoners of war.
Okay.
But I might have to buy a new plane for that person. I'm not sure.
Obviously with real money.
Yeah. Well, you can buy with real money, hospital barracks and stuff like that to speed up recovery.
Right.
I've not had any trouble getting on just fine with three soldiers. Thank you very much. Or three pilots. The missions are actually all different. So there'll be some where you're taking an entire team of four to the sky. There are some where it's just one-on-one dogfight combat with another ace pilot, which that's probably been my favorite one so far, is there was just one person that had a huge move set and a lot of health. And you know, you had to battle them just in open airspace, which was really, really fun.
Right.
So yeah, I've been sinking a lot of time into that.
Cool. And that's on the obviously iPhone, right?
On the iPhone. Yep. Yeah. Yep. This is where David boos.
Ooh,
yeah.
So, no, I've got the Y box now. I don't need the iPhone. I don't need to complain about Apple products.
You can only demonize one thing at a time.
I don't know. I mean, what's that leave me at? I'm grouching about Microsoft and Apple. I guess I've still got Linux.
Next in line. Penguin
on thin ice.
Damn you and your penguins!
And Debian. Yeah. And like, really, all you have to say is Debian.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it sounds really cool. I've intended to, but, you know, time.
Yeah. There's, and you know, if turn-based strategy isn't your thing, then it's probably a bit of a stretch. So,
yeah. And you've just been on a tear with turn-based strategy here too.
Yeah, I've really, really been focusing on that. But I've also been playing a game that is not at all turn-based strategy. Mm-hmm. Inspired by the latest Watch Out for Fireballs, I've started playing Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Ooh, cool.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. And I almost like just set it down and never came back to it in the first 15 minutes. I got through all the kind of training sections or tutorial sections and got to my first area where, it kind of gave you an open room with several guards in it and was like, okay, there's no, everything before had been kind of linear. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like, oh, training wheels are off. You got to figure this one out. And my first try, I got like 90% of the way through. And everything I did worked perfectly. And it, that just felt so good, right? Like where I'm still figuring out what the game can do. So I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, if I stand over here and throw, you know, something into that corner, will a guard investigate it? Oh, yes, they do. And I can take them out silently. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. And if I, you know, if I tag this guy while the other person's looking the other way, and it was this great fusion of all the strategies that I could think were working well in the game. And then I made a stupid error right at the end, going through the last door, tripped the alarm system and got shot down. And so then I reloaded and determined that I was going to do things the exact same way I had, because I was so proud of the way I'd figured out how to get through this and couldn't replicate it. Just that, you know, I don't know how, if I was just incredibly lucky or if the game really is that random, but, you know, so I did three or four tries and came to realize or get really frustrated with the fact that there was kind of this like long period of dialogue at the beginning of this room before the guards kind of went into their pattern of movement.
Walking in a square.
Right. never put dialogue or cutscenes or whatever right after a save point. It's so annoying.
Not to be dumb, but why don't you just save after the dialogue?
I am ashamed.
Does the console version let you save anywhere?
It does. It does. I don't know why I didn't think of that. Oh, I know why. I hadn't even thought to look for the save function yet. I knew it was quick saving for me. Mm. No, you're right. I should have thought of that. So the story ends, I'm an idiot. But anyway.
Well, now you can pick it back up and go play.
Yeah, well, I got to the point where I was like, all right, one more try, and then I'm just done with this. And it worked that time, and I got through, and I haven't stopped since. So I
I'm still playing it right now?
Well, I didn't want to say anything, but I'm most of the way through the first major metropolitan area, Detroit.
Okay.
So kind of like the big mission there, or at least what I think is the big mission. And so that it's this great blend. The way I'm playing it, and I know that they tout with Deus Ex, you can play it any way you want to. I'm kind of aggressive stealth, I'll call it. I don't like waiting. Waiting isn't fun in the game, which is a problem that every stealth game has. So I kind of just aggressively, close quarters, take people out in succession. For as long as I can, and then go loud and just kind of brute force my way through the remaining, 10% of the level or however far I managed to get. Mm-hmm. And that's worked surprisingly well so far.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best way to play those games as a stealth opportunist, you know?
Yes.
Like, yeah. unless you have a hard-on for getting the achievement for not killing people, it's like, just don't handicap yourself, you know, unless that's part of your fun of the game. But so many people, when they talk about that kind of stuff, they say, oh, it was terrible. I couldn't play, blah, blah, blah. It's like, then play differently. Like, that's the entire thing of this thing.
Yeah.
Are you playing at all non-lethal, or are you minimizing your kills, or how's that going?
So when I go loud, I switch over to
using the blades.
No, not the blades. The machine pistol is what I've got, and I've upgraded that pretty heavily. But other than that, I go completely non-lethal. So I use the tranquilizer rifle, which is this nice kind of long-range thing when I'm being silent. And then so that's for long range. For short range, I just do non-lethal kills, close quarters kills.
Yeah.
Or non-lethal like, kills.
I will paralyze you kills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the spit animation in Human Revolution is quite sophisticated, I have to say.
The spit animation?
Have any of you played it?
I have.
I haven't played very far.
When you,
I'm missing this one.
When you knock people out or like punch them or something, their spit like flies everywhere. Like they very, very clearly animate. Someone on the team has...
Someone on the team worked on Fight Night.
Right. No. But it's, you know, it's so you punch them and just there's this, you know, big line. These are the drooliest bad guys you've ever seen.
They're salivating for a fight. Yeah.
They had their salivary glands augmented.
The animations for the takedown.
So. Yeah. Well, I especially love, I took the augmentation that lets you take out two people at once. Mm-hmm. And those animations are awesome. But you never get the opportunity to use it. I got so excited, and then I realized that they place all the enemies like just too far apart to actually make use of this skill. So, boo to that.
It's hard to do. It's hard to do from stealth. It's much easier to do. There's more situations where like two enemies will be like guarding a door, and you can just like kick the door down and take them out that way.
Maybe I need to play that way. Again, with the aggressive stealth, or would you call it opportunistic stealth?
Yeah, stealth opportunism. Yeah,
stealth opportunism. Yeah, you know, I tend to wait until they've fallen into their patterns, but I have noticed that when you're getting that dialogue, they tend to stand closer together. So maybe you just need to start running in and wrecking people's shit. Yeah. Coming in hot. But yeah,
Have you gotten to any of the diplomacy sections yet?
I've had one and I failed it miserably. I think it's because I chose a different tactic each time. You know, broadly it's like the logic, empathy, or aggression.
Right.
Are your tacts that you can take. And I was like, you know, I did empathy, and then I was just trying to choose what I thought sounded the best. I wasn't really thinking about it as a, you know, you can win this situation.
Okay.
And so, you know, I like did empathy, and then I did aggression, and then I did logic, and then he shot the lady. So, oops.
I'm sorry. This is like literally like ergo bang.
Yeah. No, it's like, I feel you, bro, you stupid idiot, ergo, bang.
I love that.
But yeah, I'm having fun with it. I think one of our comments alludes to it, so we'll get into that further. But yeah. That's what I've been playing.
Cool. I'll go, if that's fine. Go ahead.
Can I just say one thing about Deus Ex?
Yes, you may. I encourage it.
I love it's like that open world map that just like lets you explore it. It's similar to like BioWare games like Knights of the Old Republic and like Mass Effect in certain places. But I just love games like that where they just have a nice, fully realized area and let you kind of go explore it and do things at your leisure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Just one last thought building off of that, because you made me remember something. The game, I think, really sealed itself in my like column, or whatever you want to call it, in my heart, I went up to what I thought was a random NPC and just hit the talk button, and it turned out to be an informant that I could then pay to give me access to secret areas.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, wow.
Is this the one you pay in booze?
There was an option to
pay. Can you pay in anything else?
I did not have any of the type of booze that she liked, though, so I paid her straight up credits.
Getting picky.
Yeah. Which, for someone digging through a trash can, how picky can you be? But anyway, I mean,
clear liquor is for rich women on diets. Yeah.
But I was, you know, I wasn't expecting that, and here's this like level of depth that I totally stumbled on. So yeah, I really like that open area.
Yeah.
And how realized it is.
Neat.
Go ahead, Cole. Sorry.
That's fine. No, you both interrupted me, so I can't be mad at both of you. I can be mad at one of you, but not both of you.
Just be mad at David, the outlier.
Ah, yeah. You should have stopped me. I was moving us on too fast. Okay. So I've been playing two. Got two here. First one is Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Playing
a little bit more of that. So I decided to buy it just because I really, really enjoyed the DS one. And this is on the 3DS, and that feels like the ideal way to kind of play this. And I was kind of curious about the way that the eShop worked, because the way that Animal Crossing works, you kind of don't want to have to carry around a cart and like put that in and then load it up. But if you buy it, you know, as a downloadable game, it's just always sitting there on your machine, just like as a menu item. So you can go in and check it out. And that ended up being a very painless process. Actually really surprised. I'm a little bit worried about what happens to this game after if the system goes bad, or if I get a new one, do you transfer, et cetera, et cetera. But we'll cross that when we get there. But yeah, it is really, really good. I like it a lot. You know, it's definitely Animal Crossing. It is a mundane chore simulator. but yeah, it is a great kind of like 20 minutes a day, right after work, just go in and chill, go through and do the rounds. And it is mundane, you know, mundane chores, which is like go shake down all the fruit off the trees, pick up all of the seashells on the beach, and then, you know, dig up all the fossils that you can, get them identified, sell everything, pay down a little bit of your loan to Tom Nook, that slumlord. And then you go say, okay, what's the furniture? And you talk to people, and they've got all this funny little positive dialogue. I send like pseudo-threatening or weird letters to people. just because like you're the mayor and you have to get your approval rating up, but they don't care what you write. And they also like always carry around the letter that you send them, like at least the first one. And so one of them like was to a dog. It was like a wolf named Fang. And I was like, hey Fang, welcome to the town. And then in all caps, watch your back. But your was misspelled to Y-U-R. And so now that's always out there. And then there's a sheep who lives next to me. Her name's like Vesta or something like that. And I was like, hey, I like your sweater. just like shit that entertains nobody but me. Also, like they walk around and ask you like, man, I really need a new greeting. So I've got two right now. I've got a robin who walks around saying, or is it the gorilla? It's some kind of animal. He walks around saying, holla back, and then thing. And then there's another one who says, tune in, you idiot. It's like, tune in, you idiot. I'm looking for fruit. It's like, here, have some fruit. Thanks. I'm slowly and subtly gaslighting these people just by going around and doing weird off-kilter stuff. And so, yeah, I'm not very far in. It's only been out for about a week, and just by nature, you do every little thing. I just got my like development permit today, which, because you're the mayor, like you arrive in this town and they mistake you for the mayor. Like, okay, you know, you have all this power now, and like you have an influence. You know, it seems kind of slight right now, but you have an influence over the way that your town develops. So like, if you want to pass an ordinance that keeps the shops open later, you can do that. It just costs some money, and then there are only so many ordinances that you can have in effect. You can build bridges, you can build like public works, and just kind of like shape the layout of your town. I think that's how you get special shops and things. So like Mr. Rossetti, that mole who would show up and like berate you if you forgot to save when you open, he's optional now because like a bunch of parents complained because he was destroying kids' self-esteem by making them, you know, type in "I am stupid" several times.
Oh, no.
You're like, "Oh man, I'm stupid," crying. But you can actually, it's an ordinance to bring him back if you want. Or it's a public works or something like that. Yeah, so I did that like right away because I want that there.
So can you like over time convert it to some like dystopian like you know concrete jungle? Because that would really
I hope that
would be a deal breaker.
I hope so. I mean, there might honestly be like a limit of stuff that you can do, so you can't choke your city's thoroughfares with like streetlights. But yeah, no, it's real neat. It's real cute. It is a never ending font of positivity. Have any of you guys played any Animal Crossing games at all?
I played the original one. Really liked it. Although for me, I always played it late at night, so there's just like often just nothing to do.
Yeah, that's the tricky part for me, is because I usually play it like I have to make a point to play it like right after work, and it's weird because of the way that the clock works, it has to become a part of your routine, which I like because it's a nice little, you know, time out.
Hmm.
Yeah,
good decompression.
Yeah, it is.
Are weeds still in it?
Yes.
Oh,
but again, you're making the walk around the town, and you know you're shaking fruit from trees, and you just like pick it up. It's like a little Zen garden. Like really, it is a very scaled down version of a scaled up version of The Sims, or a scaled down version of SimCity. Yeah,
Very cool.
Yeah, so I like that. I'll continue playing it. I might eventually just run out of stuff to talk about. But the nice thing about that series is it does lend itself to kind of those stories that pop up. So if anything interesting happens, I'll report. Yeah. And then this last one, I haven't gotten a chance to play as much of it as I would like, but I really, really, really like the potential of what I see in it. It's a game called State of Decay.
I've heard about that. I don't know anything about it though.
Yeah. It's Xbox Live Arcade, and it's Xbox Live Arcade only. It's $20, but it's not really like, you know, it's not Geometry Wars. It's really, this could have been released in, you know, stores that they felt like going to the expense, and if it wasn't so buggy and incomplete. However, what this is, it is an open world zombie game where you play as a guy who comes back from a camping trip only to find that the town and the valley that he's in has been overrun by zombies. And you find a couple of other survivors and you have to find a place to hole up, reinforce the walls, gather other survivors, go out on runs around to various abandoned buildings and tents and things like that in order to search, in order to search for supplies, in order to keep your, you know, to keep your camp safe, stocked up, to keep your people happy, because they all have like these different competencies and their own kind of dispositions. They're like story, events that kind of occur whenever somebody whenever their mood gets too low. To where, yeah, like if it gets low enough, they'll just kind of like go out and end it, you know? But yeah, it's so if you just kind of play it, it doesn't control that well. There's a lot of stuff that's kind of unexplained, but it has permadeath, at least for your other, for people other than you. So you can inhabit the bodies of like, you know, like, okay, I'm going to control this person as they go out on this ride. And if they die, they're gone. So all the progress that you made on them as they level up. So it kind of brings that sense of like tension to, you know, to the proceedings a little bit, because there really is, a level of caution that you need to get, or else you're going to lose this progress. And like, it has an awesome button, kind of like Saints Row does, to where like, if you hold down the left bumper and do something, it'll either do a bigger attack, or you can rush a search. But if you search more, you make more noise, and zombies, they can get you by either sight or sound. There's cars, and you build up barricades and things like that. It's just like, it's like this awesome little, post-apocalyptic society simulator with you as the leader. So less interpersonal stuff than like the Walking Dead video game. But like, if they decided to take the Walking Dead game into a systems based kind of thing, this is roughly what it would be like. Is like,
this kind,
oh, Good.
This kind of sounds like The Sims, but in a zombie apocalypse.
Kind of, yeah. But it's like, but it takes place for, you know, it's a third person action game. Think like Grand Theft Auto, right? But yeah, you're right. Like that interpersonal aspect of it is definitely there.
So are you getting, it's not clear then, are you getting, is it kind of like party members and you always have the same main character? Or yeah. Are these more general and they'll change from run to run?
Yeah, they're party members. There are some generics. There are some that I get the sense that they're story important because there are missions around them. But but yeah.
So okay. is there actually a story? Are you progressing or is it just survive indefinitely?
From what I understand, there is a win condition to it. Like you're working towards something, which I don't know what that win condition is, but like eventually it'll become apparent. I understand. I'm trying not to spoil myself on it too much because, because like just the existence of certain things or, you know, what kind of missions there are, I'd like to really be surprised by those. So I'm not too terribly far in, you know, compared to where I would like to be, but I really, really enjoy, what I've seen so far. Yeah.
Very cool.
And I kind of wish it was more, it was more available, like that, you know, more people could play it, but you know, just because it is strictly Xbox Live Arcade. So like you guys won't be able to play it. And I don't think they have any plans to bring it anywhere else.
Womp womp.
Yeah. But it's like the best selling Xbox Live Arcade game, like the quickest selling, like even more nice. So like, I think it outpaced Minecraft for like its first week or something like that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Do you think that says more just about the way people are buying games and the way that's changing overall than anything specific about this game?
Maybe. I think that, you know, there's a momentum built up. There are probably people who bought Minecraft and realized that as a way that they can buy games. So, yeah. I don't know. It's cool. And that's really all I've been playing.
I got a segue.
Oh, do it.
Did somebody say the apocalypse?
Bum bum bum. Oh, have you been? Are you gonna bring the heat, man?
I'm gonna bring the heat. But first, let me clarify. I'm not talking about the beauty makeup. I'm talking about The Last of Us.
Shit! All you should have said something sooner.
Yeah,
I'm sitting here leading with Animal Crossing, thinking I'm a superstar.
Yeah.
Oh, so, man.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
What Kool-Aid is that?
Well, like the it was sold out at Targets all around. So I had to go to a place that I don't like to go to get it. So
yeah, unnamed video game retail establishment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to stop at a store.
Yeah.
To pick up
a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's pretty tight. I'll say that it's the hype is kind of being fulfilled. it took me a while before I kind of bought into it, though. So this is for those who don't know, it's the new game by Naughty Dog.
Yep.
So their follow up to Uncharted 3, I guess,
but not related to Uncharted 3, right?
Yes. Only in
that we know of.
Yeah, that's right.
There could be a last minute crossover. You find a half tuck shirt on a corpse. Damn it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. So the setting, though, instead of it being an adventure game, is a apocalyptic sort of game. Not a zombie apocalypse. It's more the people at Naughty Dog watched Planet Earth and saw the episode with the fungus that takes over an ant's brain and then has it explode. And that inspired them for this game. So it's a kind of zombie apocalypse type thing, except it's plants instead of zombies.
Oh, so
plants
it's like
versus
the happening.
Zombies.
That must have been one of their discussions in their early meetings. But yeah, and so the story kind of centers around I guess many game reviews will shy away from saying too much about the narrative, but yeah. It just kind of centers on you traveling with a few people and trying to get to a place. So I will be as nondescript as possible.
Yeah,
you can kind of see some of their inspiration as far as. There's a few movies that they probably drawn pretty heavily when coming up with a story for this game.
Okay.
So you, that's kind of evident. You can see that. One, of course, just in style is the Rude, but but also some other ones. If you play it, you'll know what I'm talking about as soon as you see the story unfold. But yeah, so it took me a couple hours before I started getting into it. But once they kind of start developing the story in their own direction, and it stops leaning so heavily on sources of inspiration, then yeah, it starts to get really good. So
yeah,
they have a. No, it's so stylistically, it's very, very similar to the Uncharted games, where you have an objective to accomplish. The direction you need to go is kind of highlighted subtly in like a yellow, or I guess in Uncharted everything was red that you needed to go to, but in this one everything's yellow that you need to kind of make your way through this linear world. And the combat is very similar to Uncharted. The only difference being one of the nice features they have is something that I think we've always kind of requested about games like this is ammo is pretty limited. And so when you're put in a situation where you need to fight a group of people or things, you really need to weigh your options. You need to kind of think outside of just entering into a firefight because you can very easily run out of bullets. But they give you plenty of options. So in addition to gun, there are a few guns that you can get. One of the nice things is you can only have two guns at a time. Everything else is in your backpack. And so to switch up your guns, like to switch pistols or to switch from like a shotgun to a rifle, you literally have to stop and open up your backpack and switch it out, which is quite tense if you're in the middle of a firefight. But in addition to the weapons that you have, there are melee weapons you can pick up anywhere. So that could be anything from like a 2x4 to a bat, if there's a bat, or lead pipe, or other clue weapons. But
are they all basically the same moveset?
Yeah, I mean, there's not like a huge difference between any of them except for their durability. So some will last longer than others. However, one of the cool features they have in the game is scattered around this world, similar to Fallout. You can pick up these kind of humdrum items like duct tape or scissors or whatever, and then you can build things out of them.
Oh, wow. This is sounding more and more like Alone in the Dark, honestly.
I have not played Alone in the Dark. I have only seen the Christian Slater movie. Or is it Stephen Dorff?
No, it's Christian Slater. Don't worry.
Is it Christian Slater? Yeah. All right. I haven't even seen the movie.
Trust your instinct.
Yeah, it might be similar. I haven't
but
played
just
that
like either. like digging through a physical inventory and also duct taping things to stuff. It sounds very similar to that.
Okay. Yeah. So they do, instead of like Fallout where you can pick up like a million different things and some of them are just kind of heavy junk that weighs you down and the other stuff's valuable, pretty much everything can be used that you pick up. So they kind of limit their scope. But one of the things that's really cool is they kind of make it malleable. So, for example, a lot of times you can pick up alcohol because I guess everybody has booze in this dystopian future. Mm-hmm. And you can pick up like I guess it's either tape or like a rag, essentially. And so with those two items, you can bandage yourself up. You can make it like a health kit, which makes sense, you know. Or you can make a Molotov cocktail with it.
Right.
And so, I mean, each of them use the same item. So when you get into a situation, you have to think, okay, you know, should I make a health kit and try and heal myself before I fight these people? Or you say, okay, should I make a Molotov cocktail and try and take all these people out with that?
Right.
So there's like a nice strategic element to the combat system.
Yeah, there's like an extra layer to the resource management.
Yeah, yeah. And like in addition, so I know I mentioned the melee weapons. One of the things you can do is you can upgrade the melee weapons. Like you can tape scissors to it, and then you have a kind of axe pick sort of thing. But again, those things wear down and break pretty quickly. So they have a nice combat system. They have, I'll try not to I don't want to spoil anything, so I won't talk about necessarily who you fight or whatever. But yeah, it's so far I looked up, I'm about halfway through, so I'm enjoying it so far, and I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how it all shakes out. Mm-hmm. So,
have you looked at the multiplayer at all? Because that's all I see anyone talking about on Twitter is how amazing the multiplayer is.
I have not yet. So I will probably check that out post single player campaign. But I mean, you know, I guess they always have made interesting multiplayer games. I mean, the Uncharted ones were never seemed bad. They always seemed interesting, but I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I guess this one is very like co-op survival oriented.
Okay.
And I haven't seen anything about it except for it tells you how many days you lasted above or below the average of your friends and above or below the average of your like local area.
Okay.
But so yeah, it seems like it's some kind of either horde mode or survival mode, maybe likening it to the, you know, Call of Duty Zombies game, that sort of thing, which I know you really liked that. So I imagine this might be right up your alley.
Okay. Yeah. That gives me hope, or that gives me something to look forward to. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll check that out. But yeah. So, I mean, it's good so far. I'd say it's definitely, I'm glad they did this game instead of another Uncharted game.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Uncharted 3 was kind of wearing thin, but
How convincing are the performances? I mean, not convincing, but like, does it add something to the experience for you?
So I'm really bad at like thinking about voice acting or things like that. I totally just like don't pay attention to that. So like, if somebody says it's bad, then if I look for it, I'd be like, oh, okay, I guess so. But without having an opinion given to me first, I really don't notice it. So I mean, it's not obviously bad, or at least not too obviously bad. I think it's fine. The main character kind of looks like Josh Brolin, and kind of acts similar to that. Semi-Southern, kind of grunt-ish or brute-ish.
Yeah.
It's got a pretty awesomely rendered beard. So the little girl that is one of the characters in the game looks a lot like Ellen Page.
Yeah, I noticed that from the commercials.
Yeah, so that kind of threw me for a loop because somebody asked if she did the voice acting for it, and I didn't even look this up, but I'm pretty sure she didn't. But I had to be like, well, I know she's in Beyond, but I'm fairly certain she's not in this game. So
yeah, I need to look it up on IMDb. I'm curious because, you know, I just having seen those promotions, I'm trying to stay on something of a media blackout about it. But it's
Ashley Johnson is the name of the voice actress. So.
Neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm real curious about that. I feel like I need to get into a better place, time wise before I commit to another one of those.
Yeah.
But yeah. Good.
This halted my Mass Effect 3 campaign.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Ooh. So I sacrificed big to play this game.
I sacrificed playing one good game to play another good game. Oh, no.
Oh, no. My galaxy. I had my readiness up to – I don't know if I mentioned this on last week's podcast. I don't think so because we talked about
E3. Yeah.
I had started playing the multiplayer of Mass Effect 3, which was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I had got my – galactic preparedness up to 100% for all of the regions.
Oh, wow.
But I dread going back to it now because the galaxy is going to be so unprepared.
I don't know that it drops over time.
It does.
Does it?
It does. Even over the course of a day, it drops. Yeah.
Holy crap. Wow.
Yeah.
You get complacent.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's a function of like how many people are playing it. So maybe it didn't drop when a lot of people were playing it, but it definitely drops now. So
you know what? I never played multiplayer. So okay. I think that maybe the points that you get for doing multiplayer are temporary to a certain extent, whereas points that you get for single player, just because like it would suck because there's only a finite number of missions you can do.
Yeah.
Like if it did drop, then it would, you know, like, oh man, now I can't. No, I can't win the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, cool.
I, I expect that I will have this beat within a week, so I will report further next week.
Please do. Anything
else?
Do
you have any questions about the game?
I asked mine.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, what was your question, Dennis?
About multiplayer?
Yeah.
Cool.
David, how about you?
I've actually been kind of dry. I'm waiting for the Steam sale before I start anything new.
Oh, yeah.
But inspired by the E3s, I did get back into Saints Row the Third.
Yes.
Nice.
So I left off like right after the first stag mission, where, you know, the introduction of the stag.
All right.
And so I've since, right before I killed a Professor Genki, which gives you a crap ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
So I've, since then, I've just been, like, jetting around the city, buying pretty much everything. And then I just completed the mission where you get the vertical takeoff plane.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
That's clutch.
Yeah, so, I don't know, continues to be great. I still really love the voice acting and storyline for it. Yeah. It's just so much fun just to screw around.
Do you have the British voice actor?
Yes, yes I do. Okay. Same guy as, the Demon Hunter in Diablo 3. But, I am getting to the point where I can potentially be overpowered if I want to, particularly if I decide to drop a tank.
But, like, that, the game's designed around that, though.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Yeah. So, like being overpowered is part of the joy.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So.
Yeah. So, yeah. Good.
Yeah, go on.
I didn't know the shot before I opened my mouth, so. Oh, man. Dennis, did you ever beat Saints Row the Third?
I did, yeah. I beat it all. I think I 100% at every area after complaining that the multiplayer or that the side missions were boring. I proceeded to 100% it.
Okay. So what you're saying is nobody should have any sympathy for you ever.
No, okay. No.
That's funny.
If I can't learn how to save a game and I get sucked into side missions, I've made my own bed.
That's funny.
Yeah, I'm kind of. Have any of you played any of the downloadable content for it?
No.
I you know they've done just an incredible.
Says the two people who don't have their games because they lent it to two other people on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. okay.
But
JK, I don't have any reason.
Go on.
I don't know. I got nothing.
Okay. Is it good? I mean, like, I got the impression from what I saw that most of it was like multiplayer packs or like costume. Like, I didn't get the sense that it was a lot of like extra meaningful content.
I think most of it is just more like shenanigans and monkey shines.
Right.
You know, just like new weapons, new crazy costumes and stuff like that. I think there is are some extra missions, but I don't think it's anything major.
Right. I don't know. Did you play anything else?
Nah, that's really been it.
Cool. Well, let us go on to the multiplayer.
Okay.
You think that's a good idea?
Yes. See, I do that, but I don't intentionally reference Family Guy by doing that, and that's what everybody goes through. And then that's what everybody immediately goes to.
Mm-hmm.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a thing and you say a thing back to us. And this week's discussion topic is, what is your summer game plan? Because it is just about technically summer. Actually, when you're listening to this, it will technically be summer. And with all of that bright weather and outdoor events and blazing heat and stifling humidity, it makes sense to stay indoors and play some games. So I thought about this and I tutored it out and I was like, okay, cool. Realizing that like summer doesn't mean anything.
Like, not to the working man.
Not to the working man, no, but like I'm still in this mode, like, hey, summer, here's a time to do a thing. And like, not really, no. It's like your life is over. It's just work until you die, day in, day out.
See, I feel like for you guys it still means something because it's summer is the time when you're not like constantly snowed in and you know your drive takes twice as long.
Kind of.
Summer is when I hibernate indoors.
Yeah.
I'm on an opposite schedule.
Last season, or last summer, it got, so this is just for Ohio, it got so nasty, unbearably hot out that really people stayed in as if it was winter because just like you didn't want to go outside your air conditioning.
Yeah.
And you couldn't go out and enjoy the weather because the weather was trying to beat you to death with a stick.
Right.
Like literally you would walk outside, the wind would pick up and a stick would start hitting you.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say that was just your neighbor's dentist, but
they were hitting you with the sticks they could bathe in your blood and beat the heat.
Yeah, right.
they ran it in good housekeeping. Tips to save on your energy bill.
Suddenly become like the lottery.
Yes,
it's been all along, David. So like it's based on a flawed premise, but still, you know, just people. I don't know.
We got a great response. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, everybody just in force. And I even put it out late, so you all rule. So let us see here. Ben, why don't you tell us what Murph says?
Ascension for the iOS should have a release this month. I'm a huge fan of the game. Plants vs. Zombies 2 is coming out in July, which will probably be good casual fun. At the end of the summer, Saints Row the 4, which I did not know it was that soon.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this the most. And then Saints Row is the promise of Grand Theft Auto 3 fulfilled. It's all the open world gonzo with none of the fiddliness and grittiness of the later games.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, that's that is an opinion that we all share, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I actually don't like Saints Row.
What? Oh. Wait a minute. You just talked about playing it.
I've spent probably 48 hours playing it, but I actually hate the game.
Yeah.
It's like Dark Souls.
I play it in protest.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, Ascension, I believe that is a card game. A card game. Then Plants vs. Zombies 2. I forgot about that. I didn't realize it was that soon. Boy,
I
want it.
Into the third dimension.
I want it so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. I'll do Brian Russell Wade, and then I've got the next 3 weeks off of work, so there's sure to be a lot of Animal Crossing in my future. Apart from that, the age-old maxim holds: always be clogging. ABC: attention, interest, decision, action. Attention, have I got your ascension?
Do you mean ABK, Cole?
Yes. I took the always be blank, and then I riffed off of it into the actual monologue from Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh man,
sit in a bar talking to your friends. I used to be in podcasts. That's a tough racket. Well, I'm here on a mission of mercy. I'm keep going.
I'm not sure what just happened.
I don't doubt it. You could. You never stop to question whether you should.
Yes, I can also quote that. Yeah, no, the ever present clog tightening around your neck like a noose. Yep. Animal Crossing shows up a couple of times, so we have good people.
Good.
Let's see here. Dennis, what's Jala say?
She says that she is continually running through Puzzle Juice iOS, as it is the most addicting thing on my phone right now, which I downloaded it at her suggestion and played a couple rounds. That thing is Match 3 meets Tetris meets Bookworm, and it makes my head hurt, and she's got to be some kind of genius to play this because it is some alchemy that I don't get. It is ridiculous hard.
If it's the same thing, I think they were talking about it on Video Games Hot Dog this past week.
Oh, yeah.
The Kevin, one of the guys, you know, who who was on that show. He's like a master puzzle guy. Like he went to MIT, just like a super like a super smart dude. He played it, and like you unlock modes as you go. I think he said that at the time that he played it, he was like one of 8 people in the world who unlocked the like the challenge mode.
Oh god,
or something. Oh god. So yeah, if it is the same game, that is that is what we're looking at here. So. Yeah,
it's the opening says something like Puzzle Juice is the game that will punch your brain in the face. Yeah. And they deliver on that promise. So, yeah, good on you, Jala, for being able to play that.
To process that. She yes. continues.
Yes, she does. She says, in working on my current playthroughs of Portal 2 and Planescape Torment, both excellent games.
Yeah.
My PC is my primary gaming device, and it's down right now, so I'm on a less cool laptop that can't run new stuff well, if at all. After my PC is fixed, I'll probably co-op Saints Row the Third with my sister, since she's jazzed about the new installment to the series.
Yeah.
Again, Saints Row showing up again.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like they, like, listen to this thing, and we talk about these games. I don't know. Does anybody have one they want to volunteer before we go on to the other listener stuff?
Saints Row the fourth. I'm going to, I guess, be what the fifth vote in favor of that.
Yeah. Who knows? Let us see here, David. What does Nick say?
Nick Basile says Animal Crossing has consumed me already. Apparently, he's been folded into the works. But I'm looking forward to the director's cut of Deus Ex Human Revolution. Thanks to the latest Watch Out for Fireballs.
Yeah, they announced that that's coming out to a bunch more systems and not just the Wii U. So I think a lot more people are interested in picking up that one. I'm not sure what's new about the director's cut. I assume more content missions, etc. But yeah, that'd be a good summer game.
I have to say that WoF is on like a roll of good old games being played, and then shortly thereafter, new things being done with those games. So I take all the credit for it.
Okay, yeah, we're capturing the zeitgeist.
Yeah,
like what specifically? I can't recall.
Planescape Torment was a big one. I remember.
That was like a year ago, though.
Yeah, but they. Oh, there were a couple others. I was thinking about that the other day. I can't off the top of my head. Planescape was the big one, though.
Yeah. Hmm. Let's see here. Ben, what about Ethan?
Ethan says, wait for the summer Steam sale. We got a lot of like-minded people between our fans and us.
Good people.
Yeah. Right now, Xbox is collecting dust. If I didn't have a PS Plus and playing those games, the PS3 might be too. What? But other than random nights of Kerbal? Yes.
Kerbal Space Program.
Okay. And Game Dev Tycoon. Man, I cannot read.
It's a weird sentence, don't worry. We're not criticizing you, Ethan, but yes, it is a weird sentence.
No. It's probably my fault. Time and not really being interested in a lot of these games has hurt my love of consoles. Maybe a rental of Last of Us will get me into it, but right now I am turning into a PC player.
One of us.
Like there's a disturbing trend of just like this PC console partisanship that's like rising back up. It's about games, video games.
You sound like people at the PS3 conference. It's all about the games.
It's in the game, as a wise man in front of Madden 1994 said to me. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'll go. Like, I'm like, we have some stuff happening and, you know, Watch Out for Fireballs and things. I want to get ahead on those, honestly. Like, you know, we've got like Indigo Prophecy and then I might as well announce it. We're doing Final Fantasy VII in August. So I'm gonna get a head start on that. Then after that, like, just get started on the clog. Like, I'd really like to do some like finish up Deadly Premonition or Hitman or something like that. Just kind of go wild.
Yeah, how long until you're gonna need another binder clip for that for that clog?
It just depends on how long how much I continue to buy in terms of games. Like if I did what everybody was doing and not what everybody was doing, I am going to buy things on Steam sale. But if I included the stuff that I bought on Steam or GOG or iOS and that, I would need another binder clip. Yeah.
Have you ever figured out at
what's wrong with me? No.
No, I was going to say, if you figure out, like, you need so many hours a day to eat and 8 hours to sleep, have you ever figured out how close you are to it literally being impossible for you to get through your...
I did figure it out once when I did the backlog at the end of 2012. Not the end of 2012, 2011. Okay. And, like, I determined... let me see here. And this was literally just... let me see here. I apologize, but it's a little too good to say, but I went on how long to beat, and then took every single game and figured out, okay, you know, accepting the ones I had made progress in, let's forget about that. And just say that I opened, you know, just played it from the beginning. Let's see here. What have we got? Sorry. Yeah. So as of the end of 2011, we're looking at 1,132 hours, or a little over 47 days straight, to play this. If I were to endeavor to beat all of these games before the end of 2012, with 322 days left at that time, I would need to play for 3.5 hours every day without exception.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So you need to be back in college.
Yeah. But I do it for the people. That's literally apropos of nothing.
Hey, Cole.
Yeah?
Can I throw some numbers out that might blow your mind?
Sure.
47 people like the level right now.
They do.
47's the name of the agent and Hitman.
It's a sign.
You should go play some video games.
Yeah, I should. Just treat yourself. Just go nuts.
We're gonna assassinate.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Yeah. So who wants to go next with reading Jeffrey?
I'll pick him up.
Do it.
He says, I'm looking forward to working my way through that humble Telltale bundle from a few weeks back.
There are worse ways to spend your time.
Yeah. Gotta get on that humble bundle trip.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really good deal. They didn't publicize it that much. Like I bought one for me, and then I also got one for a friend at work who read all of my Walking Dead comic books and was like, oh my gosh, I want more. And then she probably started not playing the game. So, oh well. Yeah, but yeah, that's good. Those are fun because they're segmented off in a really understandable way. Dennis, have you finished The Walking Dead?
No, I'm bad. I know.
Huh.
What episode are you on?
Same place I was last time we talked about it. I just went into the sewers.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Storm and Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah, let's see here. How about you, Ben? What are you, like, what are you working on besides Last of Us?
Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
So those are the only two in my sight. I mean, I have Dark Souls. I haven't beat it. I haven't gotten far in it.
Yeah. You don't have to force yourself to play it.
We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. Lean heavy on Cole as your Dark Souls Sherpa. He will get you through a lot of tough situations.
Yeah.
There's also Dishonored, too. None of us played that, and I feel bereft about that.
Yeah. Well, David played it, but he didn't like it very much, so.
No. Yeah. It had the Batman problem.
Yeah, there was a problem in Batman.
Well, no, it's the Batman. Batman would be much more effective if he actually killed people, but he's enough of a badass that he doesn't have to kill people. Therefore, he'd actually be more effective if he was less of a badass.
Hmm. More effective at killing people, but not solving problems.
Wait, run that by me again?
He would be more effective at killing people, but not solving problems.
Well, no, it's just like, you know, like, he doesn't kill the Joker because, you know, he can always take him down using some non-lethal means. Right. Whereas if he wasn't some just, like, ultra martial arts superstar, he would just shoot him and, you know, have saved thousands of lives.
Hmm. There's a wonderful, like a bootleg Chinese action figure of Batman where he's holding a gun. It's like, it's so wonderful because it so elegantly misses the point of the character. And then there's another one that misspells Superman as Spurman.
Yay!
Yay! Drops the U. Anyway, David, how about the next one?
Phil Holmes says, I just bought a Wii U, so I'll be dividing my time between that, my backlog of Steam games, and trying to get through Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Or Demon Souls.
Demon Souls.
Yes, Demon Souls.
That, I'll segue there. That's actually what's on my horizon is, I'm looking at dipping my toe back into Demon Souls.
Oh yeah, you got it free on your Pissin Plus.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Hopefully I won't be so nonplussed.
Yeah.
This time through, since
I see what you did there.
I'm elbowing nothing right now.
That's kind of the one big thing staring me in the face. I've also hardcore on my pile of shame is L.A. Noire.
Oh, ooh. I thought you were like halfway through that and you're playing with your wife.
We were playing it together and we got, we weren't halfway through. We were like, I think I'd gotten to the
did
second.
Did you guys stop playing it when you got to the missions where they're murdering women?
Yeah.
I don't even know if we got that far. I got to the second desk.
Like traffic. So you or not traffic. That's homicide, right?
It's where they're murdering women.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
it's traffic, homicide, vice, arson. Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where it wasn't so much anything wrong with the game. In fact, I really liked it. I was very, very intrigued by it, but there was just a plethora of other good options that kind of crowded it out. So, I'll have to get back to that. That's one I always see it in my drawer of games and am like, oh yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. So I need to get to that one and I need to get to Demon's Souls.
Yeah.
Need to get to Walking Dead.
Yeah,
I need to finish that. Yes.
Like you have like seriously the last chapter is really short.
I know.
Have like an hour and 15 minutes left of this game.
I don't want it to be
just
over.
Get some closure.
Oh, this is man. True.
Yeah.
Wait. Isn't that where everyone says that the game does not have closure? You just feel awful.
No,
well, feeling awful can be closure.
Yeah. And then finally, Ben, what does Christopher say?
Chris says nothing major. Just catching up on the 800 jillion with a J games in ye old backlog, only to be distracted by some random game or another. That isn't on the list, thus making no progress whatsoever.
Can somebody
a very honest man?
Can somebody do like a needlepoint pillow of that post and like give it to me?
Yeah,
it would need to be like a gigantic pillow, like just like find some kind of anime body pillow.
Yeah, and, put that there. I don't know why it has to be anime, but all right.
I have needs too, Dennis. No, that's not who I am. So, yeah, thank you so much, everybody. I hope you have a great summer. We will be here to entertain you and also to talk about games. So if you want to participate in those discussions, most of it happens on the Facebook page, although you can follow us on Twitter as well. That's DuckFeedTV. The Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLevelPodcast. And we really appreciate everybody's enthusiastic and prompt response.
And courteous response.
Yes,
too.
Yes.
No one told us to fuck off.
No invectives or slurs. It is a new day. It is a new day.
So. Really, we have probably the most concentrated collection of like coherent, intelligent people on the internet. It's really impressive.
Yeah. No, you guys rule. Yeah. So end bosses.
Sure.
Yep.
The end boss.
Yep, time for the end boss where we just talk about things and stuff. We leave ourselves with something to mull over until we speak next. I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, went and saw the Mountain Goats last Friday.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw you tweet about that. How did that go?
It was fantastic. It was so good.
Where did they play?
They play at the Taft Theater.
Okay.
Which, happy accident. The bus line runs from right in front of my house to right in front of the Taft Theater.
Oh, nice.
So I didn't have to worry about driving, and as a consequence, I got drunk as fuck.
Nice.
Not really. I was coherent, but it was nice to enjoy, not having to worry about driving at the end of it. So that was good. I had never seen them live. I'm a huge fan of the band. And it wasn't just like greatest hits. Like they've got like what, 27 albums or something like that. And, they took smatterings from like all of them, only one off of the most recent. But here's the crazy thing. Like, you know, it's like indie folk rock kind of stuff. I don't know what I was expecting in terms of like the band, but like it was just John Darnielle and his bassist, whose name I forget. That is like literally all everybody that was there to play. And it was such a huge wall of sound. It was awesome. People were singing along. I didn't know this. Like he introduced one song. I forget. It's something off of Heretic Pride, I believe, by saying, okay, so there's this video game called Odin Sphere, where it's got like some kind of, it's based on Japanese mythology or whatever. I was like, are you seriously standing up in Cincinnati about ready to play a song? And you're talking about like how it relates to Odin Sphere of all things. It's like what's happening?
Sweet.
Yeah. But it was real cool. Got a vinyl of Transcendental Youth, had him sign it, whole thing. Yeah. Good time.
Oh, very cool.
Live music. So that's mine.
Nice.
Yeah.
On that note, I saw the other day we were going to a Reds game and walked past the Taft Theater and saw that Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros are going to be playing there in late August.
Oh, yeah? I don't know who they are.
Oh, they're very good. They toured with Mumford & Sons.
Okay.
So I might be going to see them live.
Oh, cool.
I've had always very good experiences at the Taft Theater. So
yeah, we were in the basement. We weren't up in the – yeah. So it was like the club area.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Who wants to go next?
I don't have anything too huge. I hosted one of my friends, Aaron Sneddon, came in town to visit last weekend, which was really nice to see him. But I'm just going to enjoy a weekend off, and if I don't beat The Last of Us before the weekend, I will beat it over the weekend.
Awesome.
So
sounds like a plan. Dennis? Or did you already do yours?
I'll count Magnetic Zeros as mine.
We want to hear another boss, Dennis.
Not good enough. It's an end boss rush.
How about you, Dave?
Really not too much. I actually closed on the house this week. And last week I flew up to surprise my dad for Father's Day.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
I've really just been kind of running around doing all sorts of stuff. But
neat.
Had a pretty good time last weekend, though. There's a really nice winery up on Lake Erie that we went to, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, there's some good. I don't like wine, but like everybody who I talk to says that is a good wine scene.
Yeah, I don't know. I was reading a book on wine recently because for some reason our. My company has that in their library for like relevant to business.
Oh yeah.
And apparently, like pre-prohibition, Ohio was fairly big in wine.
Huh.
It has been called the Paris of the West. So
isn't that what Cincinnati was called?
Yeah. But I think it was related to wine as much as culture and anything else. So
cool. So I want to button it up.
Let's do it.
Thank you so much for listening. That was the 25th episode of The Level. We had a fantastic time, and we hope that you did, too. There are some things that you can do, as we kind of proceed here. You can go leave us a rating or review on iTunes, subscribe to us, tell a friend, all of those kind of things. Go back into our backlog and see if we played a game that you like and, all that good stuff. Like us on Facebook. We're pretty close to having 50 likes, which is a nice big round number, and we really enjoy that. Mm-hmm. We're three right there. If you're listening and you haven't done it yet, there's some cool discussion that happens there. People share things, and I really heavily encourage it. If you want to support the network monetarily, you can go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar, use the Amazon link. We get a little kickback from it, and it doesn't cost you a single extra thing. I think that's really all the plugging I'm going to do this week, just because, you know. Did I miss anything, you guys?
I feel like, I mean, related to another show, but we should say a big thank you for the amazing turnout for the Kickstarter.
Yeah. I forgot when that actually closed, but yeah, it did close this past Sunday, and you know, we ended up, you know, we hit some stretch goals, and there's going to be some awesome stuff happening. So, if you're listening and you donated, to that, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. If you're listening and you haven't donated to it, or you didn't donate to it, that is perfectly fine. And I appreciate you listening as well. You can look forward to awesome stuff happening from that here pretty quick, actually.
I had to figure out how to ask my question of you guys.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually – that's going to be like a 7-hour-long podcast. We miscalculated when we set that tier, so it'll be fun. So let's do the outros on Twitter. I'm Cole Ross, at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I am Dennis Furia at D Furia on Twitter.
I'm David Moneysmith at Moneysmith777 on Twitter.
I'm Ben Merkel at Merkelizer.
Awesome. And stay alive.
Well, back to what you were saying, Cole, why don't we get started? Because I, too, am a fan of being efficient.
Yes.
And then we can maybe, you know, have Ben slated as the last brief or something like that. And
yeah.
He can jump in.
Yep. That'll work out. We'll just bring him in and we will work him into the fold or fold him into the works. I'm not sure which. Sounds like a terrible, like, industrial accident.
Yeah.
We're going to fold him into the works. What happened to
wow,
Timmy?
Wow, image.
Oh God, he got folded into the works.
Yeah, what was that? What was that book? The Urban or the Jungle?
Oh yeah.
I was thinking the Monkey's Paw, but yeah, the Jungle would work too.
Timmy's a sausage now. He got folded into the works.
Oh God.
So it's kind of weird, but
yeah.
I've returned.
Sweet.
Cease this conversation. We begin.
Let's do it.
Okay.
He's got his vim and his vigor and his lemonade
and his lemon grab.
Yeah.
I need a shirt that just ergo bang. Just with like a gun.
You should have that in parentheses beneath it.
Ergo bang, parentheses, just with like a gun or something. I don't know. Use your imagination. I'm not here to do your job. It's a really confrontational shirt that you have there.
It's like, at this point, that's, it's like, you're role. Just berating me. Why am I still reading it?
And then in brackets after that, it may seem like I'm berating you, but which just prompts the question, why are you still reading this?
Only idiots read this far.
Yeah. Italics continued on back.